just thank you so much, Lord, for the service. We have this opportunity to just hear you, Lord. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we can hear you on our own time. But I do thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've put places like this in place that we can come here and we can be aided in our walk with you, Lord. And that is the purpose of this. So we thank you, Father, for this. Lord, you have blessed us with the truth. And I thank you, Father, that you've also brought us to a good church, Lord. And we can be aided in, as we said before, aided in walking with you. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. We do appreciate you. We appreciate the fact that you led us here and brought us together. And Lord, we don't take that for granted. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all this. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing. You know, you could be walking with the Lord, but be going to you actually create an obstacle for yourself if you go to a bad church. I'm not saying it's impossible to be walking with the Lord and be like, you know, have your mind straight going to a bad church, but it's really better not to be going to a bad church, because they said you're really just creating an obstacle for yourself. It's just a hurdle. You know, okay, I understand there are certain things, you know, okay, you don't agree with everything, but you know, you take the good and leave the bad, kind of thing, as we say. But you know what? There are some bad churches. There are some churches that just you just really don't want to be at. And honestly, for people that would be going to a church where, I guess if you're going to a bad church, probably because you agree with it, so you wouldn't know this anyway, but if you were going to a bad church, it's better not to go to a church than to be going to a bad church, because, you know, people have a lot of church buildings, but there's fewer and further between are there actual God-ordained churches. And so, you know, even Paul talks about in Romans how, this is Romans 15, I think it is, and Paul talked about how he didn't want to preach Christ where Christ was already named. And basically, what he's saying is, there were people that he was writing to, and he's just saying, you know, I know that Christ has already been named among you. In other words, Christ is already being preached among you. So God hasn't really called me to go and stay among you and preach with you, because Christ is already named here, he's saying. So Paul was called to go to other places because, in other words, if Christ is already named here, Paul's saying, you know what, I really have to take my leave and be in these other places because Christ is named over here. And, you know, so I guess the kind of point is what Paul was saying. Paul was just basically saying where Christ is already named, this is a good orderly thing, actually. Where Christ is already named, people are already preaching the gospel. It's kind of like to have two people preaching the same gospel, you know, in the same place. It's kind of like there could be a greater good being served if they would actually, you know, kind of spread the gospel. And so Paul was really just telling them, you know, this is why I haven't stayed among you guys. He said, because you know what? Other people need to hear too. And so Paul basically, what he did was he went to places where he said Christ wasn't named. Now, I will say this though. Just because, like, for instance, we have started a church here. And you know what? You could debate as to, well, there are all the churches in Liberty. And so, you know, why would God call you here? I'm not saying anything, and I hope you hear this, anything against any church that is in the surrounding area, because I've never been to one of these churches, and it would be stupid to make a judgment on something that you actually don't know. But I will say though, and this, I'm saying this in general, I'm not saying this as applicable to this church right now, but I'm saying this in general, that it's okay if God calls you somewhere to start a church or a ministry somewhere where there are other so-called ministries, because that doesn't necessarily mean that Christ is named in an area just because there are churches and ministries there. God may call you to a place, but you may be the only one naming Christ properly, preaching Christ properly. And again, I'm not making this application here because I don't know it here. But God could call you somewhere where there are churches all around, but Christ is not being named. What God wants to get spread around is the message of Jesus. You could have a million churches in one little area and Christ not being preached, all right? So God will call you. When God does call you to do something, God will call you. This is an orderly thing that God will do. Again, Romans 15, I think it is. I can maybe get the exact verse for you if you want after service. God will call you somewhere where Christ is not named, all right? And the reason for that, again, is because Christ needs to be preached to people that don't know Jesus. But anyway, that's just, it's an important thing. Lord was showing me that the other day from Romans 15. That just things of that nature. There are a lot of good churches and there are a lot of bad churches. And I would assume the bad churches are more than people that are good actually preaching Jesus. But it's good to be at a church where, you know what, you know that when I come here, Jesus is being preached, all right? And this is totally serious and totally important what I'm about to say right now, but Don't let that be a cliche. When you come in here, I mean, I could say this for myself. I could say it for Pastor Jose. But don't take for granted the fact that when you come to a church, you don't typically just come to church and every single service hear people preaching about and telling you about something that Jesus did for you. That's not how it works normally. Normally, when you come to church, you hear that sometimes, and even that watered down. But a lot of times you're coming in, you're hearing about marriage, you're hearing about addiction, you're hearing about preaching on different kinds of sin. I'm just saying this is common. You flip the TV on, and you listen to some people preach. They're teaching leadership principles. They're teaching how to stay away from sin. They're teaching about accountability, all these things. And if they name Jesus, they may even name his name, but they're not preaching what he did for you. And don't take that for granted that, you know, you come to a place that's a special thing. That should be preached everywhere all the time. That when you come to church, you or when you're seeking the Lord in general, what you should be wanting to hear, obviously, is what did Jesus do? See, we should get new bracelets, right? What did Jesus do? What did... I probably will end up making it. But when you come to church, though, and obviously what you should be seeking from the Lord is, what did Jesus do about this? What did Jesus do for me? And because, obviously, let me just share this with you. When you're getting to learn Jesus, you're getting to learn what Jesus did for you and why. Because the Bible says in Philippians that it's with the acknowledgement. Acknowledgement means the knowledge. It's with the acknowledgement of what Jesus did that makes it effective for you. Okay? Philemon, I'm not going to go into the verse and explain the verse and all that, but that is what it talks about there. It's in the acknowledgement of what you have in Christ that's actually going to make it effective for you. Do you know that if you don't acknowledge what you have in Christ, you do still have it, but it's not effective for you. But when you acknowledge it, when you come to a full assurance of what you actually have in whatever regard that may be that the Lord's teaching you, that becomes effective. So do you kind of understand the context of what we've been talking about recently, about how important it is to know that Jesus is our truth, and he's become that to us. And the reason why that's so important is because if everything that we have will only become effective in you if you acknowledge it and if you understand it, then how important is it to have someone to give you that understanding? See, let me say it this way. Jesus provided everything. Putting truth aside right now, Jesus provided everything to you, and obviously we know as believers that it's on the inside of us. But now you have all of this, and now what is left now, you see, you have righteousness. As a believer, you have righteousness and you have eternal life. If I were to break it up into two categories, you have righteousness and you have life. You have righteousness and you have all the power of God. Okay? So if I were to break it up into two things, your inheritance, I would break it up like that. Righteousness, which is the qualification, which is the almost like the merit, you could say, the worthiness, righteousness, and it's Jesus' merit, righteousness, and then what? And all the life of God, the power of God is inside of you because of that righteousness, okay? Right? So we know that principle. But now watch this, though. This is how it works, though. So you see, right? Okay, so this is my body, and inside of me right now is an inheritance, okay? We've been talking about that a little bit, about how it's inside of us and stuff. Inside of me right now is an inheritance. So this is just human example. This is how it actually works. Inside of me is an inheritance. And obviously you as well, for those who have believed on Jesus. Inside of us is an inheritance. Now righteousness, okay? Righteousness is kind of like a separate deal. Righteousness is kind of a thing of its own as to the things Jesus provided us. Righteousness is like the groundwork for everything Jesus wanted to give you. And here's why. You have an inheritance inside of you, right? Now righteousness... inheritance inside of me, which is true, but I also have righteousness inside of me. Easy way to say it is I have the Holy Spirit inside of me because he's righteousness and he's life, right? So that's the proper way to view it. But I have an inheritance in me and I also have righteousness in me. But watch this. Righteousness is what qualifies me to be holding this inheritance. Righteousness is what qualifies me also to partake of this inheritance. For those of you on the recording, I'm kind of reaching into my belly, bringing out. Righteousness is what qualifies me to partake of my inheritance, okay? Let me read to Colossians 1 real quick. All right, Colossians 1 real quick. Just look at verse 12. Colossians 1:12, it just says, to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. So watch this. He has what? Why should we give thanks to God? Because God has qualified us to become partakers of our inheritance. So watch this. You have an inheritance inside of you, right? What is that? That's the power of God, the fullness of God in you. We have an inheritance, as you see from that word right here, inheritance. We have an inheritance. But also we have a what? We have a qualification. You see? He has qualified us to be partakers of that inheritance. Do you know what that qualification is there? That's righteousness. Righteousness is that qualification that Colossians 1:12 is talking about, that he has given us. Let's say it this way. He has made us righteous. He has justified us to be partakers of the inheritance. So we have an inheritance inside of us, and righteousness is the door that gives us access into our inheritance. I'm not going to go through all the verses in Romans 5, 1 and 2, and all the Psalms 118, and all the verses we've gone through to show that righteousness is like a door or a gate. You got to get those older messages to get that. Obviously, as the Lord gives opportunity, we'll teach more on that in the future too. Not right now. But righteousness is the qualification, or you can say it's the door or the path. Also, that's a good word. The righteousness is also the path. Why does God call righteousness the path or a door or a gate to our inheritance? Well, it's because righteousness is what makes you qualified to have this. I mean, think about it. God gave you all his power. What just means does God have to have given you all his power? Why would God give you, who have sinned before, all his power? You've sinned before. In fact, we've never done anything good of our own works of ourselves. So why would God give you his power? Well, because, see, he has a just means, because you're not a sinner anymore. He made you righteous. Okay? So anyway, just explain a little bit of that. Righteousness is the qualification here that it's talking about, that we can be partakers of the inheritance. So watch this. Inheritance, righteousness is the door into it. Okay, righteousness is the path inward, into our belly. If you want to get into what's the power of God inside of you, if you want the glory of God to work from on the inside of you, if you want the glory of God to pour out from you, if you want that, if you want the Holy Spirit to work through you, you need what? What is the way to access this? Righteousness. If you didn't have righteousness, you wouldn't have it in your belly, and you wouldn't be partaker of it either. Righteousness is the access. But now watch this, though. Here's another aspect of this. Okay? So we're moving on now from the Colossians 1. But watch this now. So I have an access. So I'm sitting here right now, and this is true of all of us in here because we believed on Jesus. I'm sitting here right now with an inheritance inside of me, a place where God wants me to enter. Or as Colossians 1 said, to partake of. God wants me to enter this place inside of me. We went over that on Sunday. He wants me to enter this place on the inside of me. How am I able to do that? Well, righteousness is my access. Righteousness is the reason why I'm able to do that. Why? Because God has qualified me to be a partaker. You could say righteousness is my gate in. Righteousness is the reason why I can partake of this. And I have a right to. Why? Because God justified me by Jesus' blood. But now watch this. So it's true of all of us sitting right here tonight. We have an inheritance, and we also have been given the ability to partake of it. Righteousness, the qualification to partake of it. But do you know this? That every Christian has those two things. Every Christian has righteousness. That means they're qualified, and they have an inheritance. What qualifies us to this inheritance again? Righteousness, right? Righteousness qualifies us for the inheritance. It means it's rightfully yours now. But do you know that? Now watch this though. Sorry, let me jump back to Colossians 1:12. Just stay with me because I'm getting to a point here. He's qualified us not just to have the inheritance, to be a partaker of it. That's important. Partaker is not talking about it sitting in your belly. Partaker means you can partake and utilize what's on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit works out through you. That's partaker, okay? That's what that word is meaning. All right, so let's say it this way. He hasn't just given you righteousness so it can sit in your belly. Why did he give you righteousness? So that you can enter through righteousness into your belly. You see, this whole entering in concept is you're entering in within here. Inside of you is the inheritance. If you want to enter the things of heaven, you're going to have to go downward underneath you. Underneath your skin is the inheritance. So when we enter the things of heaven, when we draw near to the things of heaven, you're actually walking down or going downward to enter the things of above. Inheritance is right here. And how do you enter through it? Righteousness is the qualification to enter in. So if I were, watch this. This is my belly right here, okay? It's not really this big, all right? And I trust the Lord to keep me lean. So this is not true of me. It's just funny. I used to make jokes about like, oh, your weight, or I'm not saying I'm a big man. I'm just saying though that you make jokes sometimes about, oh, I'm not fit or whatever. But I tell you what, Jesus provided us with perfection. I don't make jokes about myself anymore like that. I got perfection on the inside of me. I will not make a joke anymore about me being, oh, I'm out of shape, or I won't make jokes like that anymore. And if I do, you can correct me, but I'm serious. Like my vocabulary has changed because Jesus gave me perfections for my body. So anyhow, though, but this is my belly zoomed in, all right? This right here. So, I mean, and this should be a pretty good analogy here, or a figure for us to see. If this is my belly inside of my body, righteousness is like the gate to come in. Because it's in my belly right now. It's inside of my mortal body. And God, that is actually the place where God has reserved for us to enter in, is inside of you right now. And righteousness is like that gate. It's the gate so that we are qualified through righteousness. That's why it's called like a gate. Through righteousness to enter our inheritance. But watch this. So remember, this is still the belly right here. But watch this though. I could have righteousness. This year, I have this gate. It means it qualifies me. This is my access, my righteousness, which Jesus is to me. The gift of righteousness. And I could have this. And I could have the full land of Canaan inside of me. Because that's where it is. Land of Canaan, I'm talking about new earth, okay? I could have all the beauty of new earth inside of me. No hurt, no destruction. All the perfection of Jesus inside of me. And I could have righteousness. But the only way that I utilize my righteousness, my right to this inheritance, is if I know it. Okay? Stay with me on this. The only way I'm able to use my righteousness, this gate is like a closed gate if I don't understand it. You are righteous if you don't understand the things that God's given you, though. For instance, this inheritance, this righteousness that you have that qualifies you for it. If you don't understand these things, it's like a gate closed. Which you have righteousness, but there are people, for instance, today, Christians, that have righteousness, but they are not entering into their inheritance. Why? Why? If they have right, I thought righteous was our qualification to be a partaker and to utilize all of our inheritance. Why don't people enter? Because they don't know. They don't know that they're righteous, or they're trying to achieve it. They don't know their inheritance, that all that they're qualified for. So it's like an inheritance. It's like Canaan, and you already got righteousness. Righteousness is right here. But you don't use it. You know what opens that gate up? Knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is what allows you to use your righteousness and walk in. This is the principle I started out saying. Everything becomes effective for you through the acknowledgement. You could be righteous, which is your access, but if you don't know you're righteous, you don't use it. It's like a gate that's sitting there, and you're not opening it to use it. You see? You got righteousness, which is your... I hope everyone's following me, but this is righteousness. This is the gift that we have through Jesus. The Holy Spirit came down and washed you clean of sin, and you got righteous living all on the inside of you, which qualifies you so that you can enter into this inheritance that's on the inside of you. But if you don't know it, you could be qualified for an inheritance to partake of it, but you're not using your qualification because you don't know it. It's why people... Don't, just so you know, this is why people always describe how basically they describe their life, Christians, as just being a desert, dry. You know why they feel like that? I mean, you could just be feeling like that because you're just thinking stupid for the moment. But when someone's life, they describe their life as being dry or a desert or something like that, and they talk about this all the time, you know what it is? It's a full inheritance in there with a gate right there. It's called righteousness. It gives you access into this. It's not an inheritance in your belly that's walled off. You can't use it. No, you can use this inheritance. You know how? Because you're righteous. It qualifies you to partake of it. That's why righteousness is like a gate. Because righteousness, it's through that righteousness. It gives you the right to walk in. I mean, think about this. What gave you the access into this room? That door over there gave you access into this room. If that door wasn't there, you could have this room sitting right here, but you could never access it. Righteousness is like that door through which we can enter our belly. We can enter the things that are on the inside of us. That Canaan that God put here. The new earth that is stored up inside of us. We've been qualified to bear the fruit of it. We've been qualified to enter. We've been qualified to utilize what's inside of us through righteousness. How is it that you can use your righteousness and use your inheritance and use everything that's on the inside of you? Because remember that twofold thing I described? You got the inheritance and you got the qualification. That's that twofold thing inside of you. Righteousness, that qualification, and all the life of God that you're qualified for. Righteousness and life. Here it says qualification and inheritance. But basically, Walt's saying that we are righteous for this inheritance. And it could be sitting right there. But it's only effective through acknowledgement. All things become effective through acknowledging them. Okay? When you acknowledge what you have in Jesus and acknowledge, wow, Jesus, you made me righteous, you're going to start seeing things change for you. When you acknowledge, I have life through this righteousness, I'm qualified for this resurrection power inside of me because of this righteousness, you know what's going to happen? Things start becoming effective. When you come to a full assurance of acknowledgement of these things, when these things become firm and real in your mind, you know what it's like? This is what it's like. Remember, this is our belly, right? This is our belly, which is firm and lean, right? This is it, right? You may laugh, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's the truth. Jesus is perfect. The Bible describes our inheritance as perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. The Bible actually says that you got a perfect body just waiting for you inside of you. And it ain't going to take no diet in the resurrection to make you lean. And you can think that's funny, but I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I find being fit as part of my inheritance, not something I get from a diet. If you diet for now, then that's fine. You can diet for now to supplement, you know, a lack of understanding right now. But make sure that that's your understanding, that it is only for a lack of understanding, because I don't have to diet in the new earth, because I have the perfection of Jesus working in my body. Just so you know, okay? These are good things. Again, one of those things you normally hear at church is fitness and exercise, and bodily exercise profits little, but it's just that, it profits little. I'd rather depend on Jesus. Here we go. Ready? Righteousness, and there's life beyond that gate. But now remember, this is our belly. I'm not talking about a place outside of us. This here is here. Imagine a gate like this, which is not really a gate, obviously. I'm just saying there's righteousness inside of me, then there's life inside of me. Makes sense. Okay, if you are confused or at all, if you have a question thus far, I want you to raise your hand if you have a question. If you have a question that's on your mind just so far, I want you to raise your hand and ask it. I'll give you 5 seconds. Five. Okay, we're moving on. Good. I didn't want to make sure no one's confused. So you got righteousness and that qualifies you for this inheritance. But watch this. What Jesus does is he brings you and says, look, that's the righteousness I gave you. See that righteousness? That's the righteousness I gave you. I gave you a gift. You see, you're trying to work for righteousness. You know, and look, that's a gift. It's not dependent on your works. It's not dependent on what you do in the right. Listen, it's because of what I did for you that I made you righteous. You see, this is the gift of righteousness. You see that? And you know what happens? You see, you're using righteousness that you maybe didn't know was sitting here. So you're qualified, but you're not even using your qualification. Why? Because you don't know it. So what does he do? He wants you to use the fact you're righteous. Because isn't that an important thing? Righteousness is what qualifies you to get in. So Jesus, it's like, what does Jesus do then? He's not just the way. Righteousness. He's not just the life beyond it. He's the truth to show you about it. So you can use that righteousness in that life. I am the way, and I am the truth to show you that way, and I am the life beyond it. You see that, right? You catch that whole threefold thing that Jesus is. That means he's everything to you. That means there's nothing Jesus isn't to you. That's how God categorized your inheritance. Way, truth, life. And Jesus, I'm all of it. So you can just depend on Jesus for everything. Watch this. Your belly is full of righteousness, which qualifies you for your belly full of life and perfection and resurrection for the dead, right? You don't have to die. Life of God is to keep you alive. You don't got to die so that God resurrects you. It's not God's will for you. God's will is not that you get sick to get healed or die so that you can live again. That's stupid. Why would you need to do that? You got life to sustain you. Jesus said that his will for you is that those who live would never die. Resurrection is only for people that are already dead, right? If you're alive, then he's life to keep you alive. That's nicer, right? The will of God. John chapter 11, he says that. So life is a good thing, and righteousness is a great thing, because it qualifies you for it. But if you don't know it, it's like a closed gate. What do I mean by that? It's like a gate not being used, and hence life not being used. Sitting there. It's there. You could open it and use it, and you could walk through it, and you can get that life and use it and be a partaker of your inheritance, because you're qualified through the gate. The gate's your qualification, and the life's just waiting there. But if you don't know it, it stays closed because why? I don't mean closed like it's locked up and how do I open it? I'm just saying you're not using your righteousness. Obviously, you know you don't have a real gate inside of you. I'm just saying you're not using your righteousness. That's why God calls it a gate. But watch this, though. But Jesus is the truth to show you about, look, you got a way into this inheritance. Look at what this says right here. You're qualified to be a partaker of this inheritance. You're qualified. You got righteousness. So you can partake of this inheritance. And you know what Jesus is trying to do in this verse? Look, you're qualified. This is yours, and it's rightfully yours, because look behind door number one. You got an inheritance. But the thing is, if you walk around not knowing it, it's just sitting there, and it can be used. You can be a partaker. You can live in this new earth. The new earth living in you right now, but you can live in the realities of the new earth. How do I know that? He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance that's inside of you. Not just so to sit inside of you, to be a partaker. That means that you can live in the realities of new earth now. Why? That's the inheritance, that's the life that Jesus came to give you. Jesus died for our sins, that we might have righteousness and the life that comes through it. So let's come back to this again. So you got these two things here, righteousness and life, but Jesus is also the truth to show it to you. You see, we have all these things inside of us, but Jesus just wants you to acknowledge these things. Just so you know, the gospel is never complicated. So if this is at all complicated to you, you just keep seeking the Lord about it. I'm telling you, it'll be simple. It doesn't have to be complicated, okay? It's not. Like in my mind, it's not complicated to me because the Lord taught me. And I can't make it not complicated for you. But you just listen. You keep listening even tonight. And trust me, the Lord will show it to you if he hasn't already. Jesus wants to show you. Look, you got inheritance. Look, you got righteousness. It's ready for you. He just wants to basically show you what's on the inside of you. Why? Because everything becomes effective through the acknowledgement. When you acknowledge these things is when you use your righteousness. You use the life of God inside of you when you acknowledge these things. So Jesus wants to show it to you. Simple as that. He wants to show it to you. He's already your righteousness. He's already your life. And he just wants to speak the truth to you so that you can enter in. Okay? There is a place we've been talking about. A place. I just called it Canaan. There's a place we've been talking about. Hebrews 3 calls it this rest. But this rest, this place that we're talking about, we've been talking about, we just basically put different names on it, but we've said it's the things of heaven, it's the, let me use that word Canaan. Canaan, which is just another word for the new earth, okay? Canaan is really what we're entering, okay? Canaan, the things of the new earth, that's what we're entering. But that is on the inside of you. God put a whole different world inside of you. And obviously, I'm not talking about a literal planet spinning around in you. I'm talking about that image. God actually calls you the first of the new earth. Okay? In James chapter 1, he calls you the first fruits of his new creation. Okay? And he put all these realities inside of you. So the things of the new earth are inside of you. You could say Canaan is inside of you. That good land that Deuteronomy 1 calls it. Canaan, or that good land, is something that God put inside of you. God put these things here. And you know what? Watch this. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. This has been our verse. I'm just going to read you two parts of two verses, okay? A part of one verse and a part of another verse. You could read on your own time. You could get past messages to get the full thing. Look at verse 7, Hebrews 3, 7. Today, if you will hear his voice, comma. Now, there's a whole lot of rabbit trails in between. There's a whole lot of explanation that could go into it, but I'm making it simple right now. Today, if you will hear Jesus' voice, what will happen? You will enter his rest. Actually, the whole context of this is describing the flip side. It's describing how people didn't hear Jesus' voice, and therefore didn't enter his rest. I'm just showing you two parts. Ready? One more time. Today, if you will hear his voice, you will what? What's the end result? You will enter his rest. We've been talking about that rest is talking about the new earth, the land of Canaan. New Canaan. Okay? New Canaan. Not the present Canaan. New Canaan. All right? Watch this. Why does he say that? Today, why does he say that? What's the thing with this? If you hear Jesus, it says he will lead you into this rest, or let's just say it plainly, this new earth. If you listen to Jesus, he will lead you into this new earth. You will enter this new earth if you listen to Jesus. Why is that so? Why is that so? Why does it say that? If we just listen to Jesus, we're going to enter into the new Canaan that's on the inside of us. Why does it say that? Here's how it works. Remember we said, imagine all this beyond. This is all this. Again, this is our belly over here, right? Canaan's right there. New Canaan, new earth is right here. And righteousness is that gate. We're qualified to partake because of this righteousness. What did we say before? If Canaan is in you, but you don't know it, if Canaan is there and you're just not aware of it, and if you have righteousness already that would qualify you for it, to partake of it, and you don't know it, it will sit there. It will sit there, and you have it, and it will sit there. How do these things, how can you enter through righteousness into the realities of this new Canaan that's on the inside of you? How do you enter? We just said, you have to acknowledge it, right? You have to understand. If you understand it, if you understand you're righteous, and you understand that you're qualified for this inheritance, you'll enter that inheritance. No wonder he's saying here, listen to Jesus. He'll lead you in. If you haven't got it already, I'll explain it to you. Jesus is speaking to you. And this is how he leads you into New Canaan. He shows you how to get there. He shows you what's already been given to you and says, look it. This is why, look, hear Jesus. You don't know what's on the inside of you. You don't know. You've never seen it before. None of us in here have knowledge of ourselves, of what's inside of us. If you know anything, it came from Jesus. Okay? So we don't know of ourselves what's inside of us. We don't know all the fullness of what Jesus did for us, but it's there. New Canaan is here. So what does Jesus do? You've already been made righteous for it. It's all yours. It's inside of you. And now Jesus is going like this. Okay, Colin, look, you have this righteousness inside of you. And it's not going to look like this, like he's got his armor on you. It might look like this. It may just look like this in the morning. Here's New Canaan. Inside. I'm holding a Bible for those in the recording. New Canaan is here in my belly, and I got righteousness that's here for it, but I'm not using it right now. It may look like this in the morning. The Lord points something out to you here about the gift of righteousness, and you're learning about what Jesus put inside of you. What is Jesus doing? You don't need a Bible open, mind you. You know, but this is what he's going to be teaching you. And Jesus is teaching you about the life that's on the inside of you, the righteousness that would qualify you for it, things of that nature. Why would Jesus teach you about this? Jesus teaching your mind so you can acknowledge what's here. Why would Jesus do that? So that you can enter in, so you can utilize what's already yours. Canaan is here, and you've already crossed the Jordan. That means you're already righteous for it. He's already made you righteous for it. All that's left is that for God to tear down old ways of thinking in your mind that would block your sight from seeing what you already have. And I understand there's wordiness to what I'm saying, but I believe we get the principle here. God's trying to show you what you got. If he shows you what you got, you enter what you got. Okay? That's simple, simply said. So, this is why Jesus teaches us. This is why Jesus is so adamant about tearing old junk that would be spoken to you by other people, by other things. God wants to tear down every wrong way of thinking that would come at you. God wants to tear it all down. He wants to destroy it. God wants to kill every single bit of what would come against you in falsifying his gospel or detracting your mind. God wants to tear it all down. Why? So you can see what's yours. Why is that so important to him? So we can use it. You see? It's here. Canaan's here. The Bible says he has given it to us. Canaan is here. New earth is not something we wait for. New earth is something that's in us right now. Man, I got a million and one verses to show that to you, but new earth is here right now. The Bible says, check this out, just to give you a quick verse for this. The Bible says, look at this. Look at in verse 7, Hebrews 4:7, God has given us new earth. Or in other words, this rest. We're already beyond that right now. I'm assuming you already know that this rest is talking about new earth. But look at this. So God has given us this rest, new Canaan inside of us. And this is for us to enter now. It's ours now. Why? He has qualified us for this inheritance. That's what makes it ours right now. Watch this. And look, he designates a certain day. God even designated a certain day through David as to when is good for you to enter Canaan. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today. Today. Look at that. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today. He designated a day. What he's talking about here, he's talking about a day to enter. See this? In the verse previous, he just got done saying that Israel did not enter because of disobedience. Israel did not enter New Canaan. Ancient Israel, it was available to them too, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Old Israel, ancient Israel in the times of Moses and Joshua, ancient Israel could have entered into the new earth, new Canaan, okay? They could have entered Canaan. I'm not talking about physical Canaan, right? I'm talking about real Canaan. They could have entered the things of new earth, but they failed to enter. Why did they fail to enter? Because even though God had presented it to them, they didn't believe it. They wouldn't hear Jesus. They wouldn't acknowledge what God had given them. And so what? They failed to enter. But then God designates a day for us to enter. What is that? Today. Today is the day. That's why he says today right there. What is he talking about? We have new Canaan here, and God is saying today is a day that you are able to enter these things. The inheritance is already yours, and when is the inheritance yours? The inheritance is yours today. Why? Because he has qualified you to be a partaker of it. God has qualified you to partake of this inheritance inside of you. But God just wants to show you how qualified he's already made you. He wants to show you this inheritance that's been given to you. Okay? God wants you to acknowledge the fullness of the inheritance inside of you so that you can utilize it and you can enter it. Okay? This is why. Okay? Watch this. I'm going to need a volunteer. I want one volunteer. Just someone throw your hand if you're willing to come up here and look stupid for a second. No, I said that. Everyone's like, Colin, get up here. Don't raise your hand and pick you up. All right, get up here. Stand right here, all right? I just want to show this to you. All right, I want you to preach the rest of the message right now. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm going to be Jesus, all right? Only because I'm the one that knows what he's doing right now. You're going to be the people, all right? Just remember this. Remember in Joshua. Remember Joshua in the account of Joshua that we went through, right? So I'm the Jordan River first, right? So I'm gonna be the Jordan River, all right? I'm the Jordan River. This is righteousness, okay? I'm Jesus right now playing the part of righteousness. The people of Israel need to be baptized, which is a picture of them being made righteous, right? We know that. So the Jordan River. I'm the Jordan River right now, which is Christ as our way. The qualification to the inheritance. Now, beyond this Jordan River is what? Canaan's over here. Canaan can be yours, Colin, if you pass through the Jordan River. Canaan can be absolutely yours and be on the inside of you if you're made righteous through the Holy Spirit, the Jordan River. So I'm the Jordan River, and then I part like this, make a way. Go ahead, pass on through. Okay, so Colin's washed clean. Christ just became his way. Now, where is he right now? Canaan is his. Canaan's right there now. Canaan is inside of him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, Christ, Jesus, okay, washed him. So what has he got inside him? He's got a clean spirit, fully righteous. Righteousness is inside of him, and Canaan is inside of him now, right now, right? But for the sake of example, he passed through the Jordan River, was made righteous, and now what's his now? Canaan is his. New earth, I'm talking about. New earth is now his. To reign in life in the things of new earth. That's his now. Kingship is already his. And all of this life is in him. But you remember what happened though? The people crossed the Jordan River. So Colin is the people, right? The people just crossed the Jordan River. Canaan's theirs now. Why? I'm talking symbolically, right? Canaan's theirs now. Why? Because they're washed now. They're clean. They're righteous. They're qualified now to partake of this Canaan. Partake of this inheritance. But watch this though. You know what Jesus did next? You know what Jesus did next? You guys remember what Jesus did next. Now that he's righteous, and now that Canaan is his, what's he need now? Well, he don't know it's there. He knows very, when you're first saved especially, you know very little of what's yours. You just got enough faith in Jesus just to save you. So he's sitting there. Canaan is his. because he's washed in the Jordan. But what? Is Jesus going to sit there now? It's already his. And what's the day for him to use it? Today. Why not? Why not today? Jesus already paid for today. It's his today. It's able to be used today. But it's just going to sit there. Canaan's going to sit there, even though he's righteous for it, unless, what? He needs to understand what he's already been given now. He already passed the Jordan, and Canaan is already his. What does Jesus do next? This is what Jesus does next. Okay, so now you stand over here, right after the Jordan River. Okay. Canaan is right there. It's his, because he's washed. He's qualified. He's righteous. So Canaan is his. What does Jesus do next to Joshua? So he's Joshua. He represents the people and Joshua. What does Jesus do next? He comes to Joshua with a sword drawn. What's Jesus after now? That, his mind. Jesus is after his mind. Why? Because he's already got Canaan, and he's already washed for it, and this man needs to know what he's got in Christ. If he doesn't, it'll sit there. So Jesus, very, very adamantly, wants this man to know what's his. So Christ, that's why this is a drawn sword. He's ready. What's the sword a picture of? The word of God. Ephesians 6 says that the sword is the word of God. Also, Hebrews chapter 4 calls the word of God a sword. So what does Jesus come at him now? Now that he's already righteous and the inheritance and Canaan is already his, new Canaan is living inside of him, what does Jesus do now? His word. His word. Why does Jesus take out the word now? Because he wants him to enter that through the acknowledgement. This is why Jesus goes like this. Watch this. In Joshua's time, what happened? When the people were already righteous for the inheritance, in Joshua's time, Jesus came to Joshua with a sword drawn, and he spoke to Joshua. And what happened right after that? He tore down the walls of Jericho. He tore down the fortifications. Right? This is how it looks in real life. Holy Spirit washes him. He's got Canaan right now. So Jesus comes at him with a sword to tear down old ways of thinking in his mind, fortification, so that he can see clearly and he can enter his inheritance. Okay, you're good. Thank you. Jesus, let me explain back in Joshua's time again. Once you're already clean and Canaan is already yours, all that Jesus wants you to do, what did it take for the people to enter Canaan? What did it take? Remember, these people were already washed in the Jordan River. And God had already told them this land is theirs. God had given them Canaan. Was the only thing. But watch this though. Did the people enter Canaan right after they went through the Jordan? No. Think about this for a second. Just think real deep with this. They went through the Jordan. They got washed. Canaan is theirs. Why didn't they enter it? Think about it for a second. They went through the Jordan River, which is what would qualify them. They're washed, okay? Canaan is theirs, rightfully theirs now, because they're washed. Why did they enter? There were walls. Listen to this. If Canaan is Israel, Canaan is rightfully theirs, because they've been washed in the Jordan. I'm describing every Christian right now, okay? Particularly Christians that are lacking understanding that they should have, but watch this though. Why is that Israel didn't enter Canaan right off the bat? They got washed. They're qualified now, so Canaan's theirs. If you're righteous, Canaan comes through righteousness. If you're righteous through the Jordan River, Canaan's yours. Why didn't they enter Canaan? Walls. Walls. I'm saying this literally and figuratively. Walls. There were big walls blocking Jericho. They wanted to lay hold. Jericho's theirs. The city was theirs. And they wanted to lay hold on the spoil of Jericho. They wanted to lay hold on it. It's theirs already. It didn't have to be there. It's theirs already. But what blocked the people of God from laying hold on what was theirs? That was rightfully theirs. What was blocking them? Walls. Fortifications. Blocking it. You know what fortifications are? We read this from 2 Corinthians 10 recently. Fortifications, at least in 2 Corinthians 10, are a picture of vain reasonings. Wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. If Cain is yours, and you're already washed and cleansed for it, it's rightfully yours, then what's blocking Christians from entering new earth? Why do you talk to Christians and it makes you want to gag sometimes? Wrong thinking. It's Canaan's here. Canaan's theirs. They're washed for it. What's wrong? It's big fat walls in their mind that people have raised up in their mind. So what did Jesus have to do? And what is that? Wrong thinking. This is symbolic. And I'm not making this up. This is the original intent of that account. God, what did God need to do for the people of Israel to enter their inheritance? Tear those walls down. What did Jesus have to do for Joshua if he wanted to enter the inheritance that was rightfully his through the washing of the Holy Spirit? What do you need to do? What does God need to do in your mind for you to enter the inheritance that is rightfully yours through the washing of the Holy Spirit? Well, what did God need to do for the people to enter Jericho, which was rightfully theirs, through the Jordan River? He needed to tear the walls down. And once, watch this. Watch how this works. Once Jesus, he's the one that did it with his sword. When he tore those fortifications down, that wrong thinking, what happened? All of them entered Canaan. With just a tear down of some wrong thinking, all of them entered. What was theirs since the day they crossed the Jordan. How do you enter what's yours? The things that are rightfully yours through the Holy Spirit, the washing of the Holy Spirit. How do you enter what's yours? Let Jesus, by his sword, by his word, tear down wrong ways of thinking. How do you enter Canaan? Well, look at the symbolism. Let Jesus tear that down with his sword, with his word. This is why, after they crossed the Jordan, Jesus came, okay, with the sword. He came with the sword, spoke to Joshua. He told Joshua, see, I have given you the land, and tore the walls down. This is what Jesus does with us. He comes to you and teaches you, tears all ways of thinking down in your mind so that you can use Canaan, enter Canaan, live in Canaan. You see, the land can be theirs, but as long as they leave those walls hanging there, as long as they leave those walls up, it's theirs, they're washed for it, but they're not entering it. And this is for us. This is why Jesus is adamant about you listening to him. Because he's the only one that knows how to tear that junk down. All ways of thinking, false things that would come against your mind, he's the only one that knows how to tear it all down. Listen to Jesus. He'll tear the walls of Jericho down. He'll tear all the walls down, the fortifications down, so you can use what's yours. Jesus wants to tear down old ways of thinking in your mind that would prohibit you from seeing, this is what Jesus did for me. Okay, so all in all, I have to kind of close here, unfortunately, but all in all, I want to just share this. God wants to show you what's yours inside of you so you can enter it. And the only way for him to do that is you got to listen to him so you can tear those walls down. He can tear those fortresses down. And when he tears down all ways of thinking, the people enter their inheritance. When God is able to reform people's mind and tear their thinking down and give them his truth, God's people enter their inheritance. Okay? If you see people, Christians today, I'm telling you, Christians die and suffer like the rest of the world today. And I don't say that happily. There are brothers and sisters, obviously. But people die and suffer today like they didn't have Jesus. And that shouldn't be. They have new earth in them. And it's sitting in them. And Christians all over the world today, they're hurting with new earth in them. With Jesus, his fullness in them. And with a qualification for it. And do you know what's stopping them from entering their Canaan? They don't see it. They don't see that this is theirs. And they can see that it's theirs. What do they need? They need to start listening to Jesus. Stop listening to all these other people that are just putting blocks in their eyes so they can't see it. Start listening to Jesus. He's going to take that sword to those blocks and pow, knock them all down. God's truth is like a weapon against wrong ways of thinking. If you even get a wrong thought that passes through your mind, don't you dare take the responsibility of tearing that thing down, because you have truth with a capital T, and it's a person. If you listen to him, he'll tear it down for you. Okay? This is why we listen to Jesus. Only when the old ways of thinking come down and we listen to Jesus with his word. When you listen to Jesus, his word, he'll bring you in by tearing old ways of thinking down. And when the old ways of thinking come down, you get to enter what's rightfully yours. Okay? That is in a nutshell, and I'm serious about this. If you kind of get it, then that's good. If you get it fully, that's even better. But if you kind of get it right now, and it's just a lot of busy stuff, don't go seeking everything I just said. Okay? And I'm not saying this in a boastful manner at all, but God's taken a long time to show me certain things like this, and he did it nice and easy and simple, and it's not going to happen for you overnight if you don't kind of understand some of this. It's not going to happen overnight just because you start bombarding your mind with all this garbage and symbolism and stuff. Look at Jesus, and he'll teach you. Okay? That's all of us in here. None of us in here are going to get any closer to entering these things if we're just depending on our own understanding. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Stop worrying about what to think. Start concerning yourself with who's going to think for you. Okay? This is why the Bible says, stop relying on your own understanding. You just put your focus on Jesus, and he's going to speak to you. That's the good stuff that will tear down the old ways of thinking and cause you to enter your inheritance. Okay? So, I know it's a lot of stuff, but you know what, though? If tonight, even for you, if it was just kind of like a, yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I get the idea of it. I may not have understood every little symbol, but I kind of get the gist of it. Then get the gist of it, because maybe that's just what God was showing you, because maybe that's exactly what you need right now for him to build on. Okay? So, don't, like, I just don't want us to take something that we hear and start rushing ourselves into something instead of acknowledging a shepherd who can lead us and guide us into all truth. And start, you know what I'm saying? Listen to Jesus, and he will explain everything to you. And he explains everything to you so you can enter into what's yours. All right? All right. We're pretty much good right there. Honestly, I think we're good. That was a nice full idea there. If anything, I hope you guys see, I'm telling you what, it just confirms constantly more and more. I already know this, but it's constant confirmation over and over again about, I'm telling you, everything is just, things don't just sort of, like, eventually all point to Jesus. This stuff was written about Jesus. It was written about him. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we think, every book of the Bible talks about Jesus. In Leviticus, he's the priest. And no. Every verse, every word, it was written about Jesus. It was written about what he was coming to do for you. And the whole account of Joshua, I hope you understand, I wasn't making this stuff up. If you want verses, I can give you verses, okay? There's plenty to go into proving it. But this is all concerning Jesus. All things concerning himself. All things. Every part of the Bible is to show you Jesus. When you're reading your Bible, or you're seeking the Lord about things, you set your heart on the Lord and say, Jesus, I want to hear more about you. You can hear more about the 10 most deadly sins and the 5 ways to fix your marriage and you know, that's good for people that don't want to profit at all. But if you just want to actually go somewhere, say, Jesus, show me something more about yourself. Show me more about what you put on the inside of me. I got this righteousness, I got this life, this inheritance inside of me, new Canaan all inside of me, just bursting at the seams. Show me what's going on, Jesus. And don't hear nobody but him. And I'm telling you what, you're going places. Not really, just kind of right here. Inside, right? All right. Hebrews 3 and 4. If you want to read it though on your own time, Hebrews 3 and 4, those are good. Just obviously whenever you read about his rest, just know that, oh, that's new Canaan, that's new earth, all right? Hebrews 3 and 4 are good things to read.